Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
Y'all have your Bible? Let's hold it up. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says that I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind's alert. My heart's receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came in Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my faith and my life gets stronger and stronger. Can you thank God for the Word? Come on, let's thank God for the Word. You know, I'm so thankful that we can gather, right? Everybody here, everybody online, through television, through metaverse, all of our campuses. I'm so glad that we can gather because we're in a series. We end it today on No Compromise, Almost a Christian. And you know, we look at the early church, the first century church, the early church, the persecution they were going through, we haven't even begun to go what they've gone through, right? I mean, you know, all of the apostles except for John. Now, we know Judas hung himself, but then all of them but John, they were martyred for their faith. You know, Peter hung upside down and Timothy stoned to death on the streets of Ephesus. And go back to the Old Testament, you know, Isaiah was sawed in half. I mean, they gave their life for Christianity. They gave their life for their belief in God, in Jesus Christ. And the church, the early church, the century church, first century church, they couldn't meet like this in a 3,100-seat auditorium. They couldn't have a nationwide television ministry. They couldn't have a metaverse. They couldn't have a YouTube. They didn't have any of that stuff. The first century church, they had to meet underground. There was so much persecution for their faith. Gladiators, lions, sawed in half, crucified, you know, all burnt alive, boiled in a pot of boiling oil. I mean, they gave it all for their faith, right? It's getting quiet now. They give it all, right? So we're talking about commitment or compromise. And you know, my dad told me growing up, he's in heaven, but I'll never forget. He said, Dave, what you compromise to gain, you are always going to lose. I found that to be true in my life. Can I have a witness? I mean, we've all compromised. And we thought we were going to get something. And when we got it, we didn't get what we thought we were going to get. Or we couldn't keep it. Right? So we're ending today this series on No Compromise, Almost a Christian. And we're looking at the Apostle Paul standing before King Agrippa and the president of that day. So let's begin today. We're going to finish it today. Go with me to Acts chapter 26, verse 22. And we'll begin there in Acts 26, 22. No compromise, almost a Christian. We can't afford to live there today. We just can't afford to do it. There's no gray matter. It's either black or white. I'm either hot or cold. I'm either gathering or scattering. I'm either in it or out of it. There's just no in-between today because the in-between doesn't work. There's no power there. There's no satisfaction there. There's no peace there. The in-between, you know what I mean? Carnal Christianity, foxhole Christianity, only go to church when I have a need, only go to God when I'm hurting. It just doesn't work today. It won't sustain you. It won't sustain you. So let's look at it. Having therefore obtained the help of God, I continue into this day witnessing, and that's what we should be doing as a church right now, because all that's holding Jesus from coming back is the harvest. Witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. So Paul is saying what the Word says. This is Paul, and he's referring to Old Testament scriptures. Verse 23, that Christ should suffer prophecies, that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people, to the people and to the Gentiles. Verse 24. And as thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, you are crazy, you're mad. Verse 25. Notice that Festus is trying to quiet good ideas and promote bad ideas. That's what's happening today in the media. Bad ideas are getting all the attention. Good ideas are being silenced. Can I say it more clear? Biblical values are being silenced. The home, the family, marriage, the word, Bible, Christianity, it's being silenced. Bad ideas are being promoted. Good ideas are being silenced. Don't let society silence you. He said, I'm not mad, most noble Festus. I speak words of truth. Verse 26. For the king knows these things, for whom I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, was not done in a corner. It was on Golgotha, right? It was on a hill in Jerusalem. It was at the crossroads. It would be like at an interchange of freeway where everybody saw it. Verse 27, King Agrippa, believes thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Verse 28, and then Agrippa said to Paul, this is where we have our series title for the last several weeks, almost thou persuaded me to be a Christian. Almost Christianity, a compromised life. A compromised Christian life. No compromise is what we're talking about. You and I don't want to be an almost Christian. Next, guys, Revelation chapter 3. Revelation 2 and Revelation 3. Now, the book of Revelation was written by John on the Isle of Patmos, and that was like an island like Alcatraz. That's where all the worst criminals of the day were sent. And history tells us that even there on that island, they couldn't kill him, so they exiled him, John, the Revelator. He wrote the book of Revelations there, but he also planted a church. He was a church planter at Alcatraz. Pretty cool, huh? Can't put a good man down. And so the seven churches are parallel. You need to study this. I've done sermons and series on this. You probably could go back and get it on the seven churches. Each one of them are parallel to the condition of the church today. All right? So unto the church of Laodicea, write these things, says the Amen. This is Jesus, the Amen, the faithful one, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Notice, please note with me, can't be a Christian and believe in evolution. Right? We believe in creation. Right? You and I know our identity. We know who we are in Christ. We are who God created us to be. You didn't come from an ape, blob, you know, or smog, but we were made in the image of God. We are bearers of the image of God on this earth. Verse 15, I know your works. I know that you're neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. He said, be in or be out. Revelation, next verse, 16. So then because you are lukewarm, everyone say lukewarm. That's an almost Christian. Lukewarm is somebody who only goes to church when they need something. Entitlement. What can the church do for me? At Church on the Rock, that's not our mindset. We don't come to get, we come to give. We come to serve. We are not spectators, we're participators. Christianity is a life of work and service. So then because you are lukewarm, you're neither cold nor hot, I want to know what Jesus thinks about the mindset of almost Christianity, of a compromised life. He says, I will spew you out of my mouth. I will vomit you. I will throw you up. That's the mindset of Christ to almost Christianity, to those who live a life of compromise. So I want to review just for a minute. I gave you the cost of compromise. There is a cost, right? There's a reward of commitment, but there's a cost of compromise. And if we can review, this is where we left off. I'm going to add two more today, and then we're going to finish this series. But the cost of compromise, we can't afford to pay the price of an almost Christianity lifestyle. So number one, we said the cost of compromise is that we will lose God's what? Power. Thank you for your enthusiasm today. We will lose God's power. All right. Number two, we said that not only will we lose God's power, but we will lose God's favor and God's promotion. You can go back in our previous studies. We expounded on each one. So we lose his power. We lose his promotion or favor. And then we said that we lose what? His presence. And boy, more than anything else, we want his presence. We want to live in his presence. Remember David said that? He said that goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. And he said that he would, in the presence, he wanted to dwell in the presence of the Lord forever and ever and ever. Didn't he say it was better to be a door greeter in the church? Yeah. So you read the book of Psalms, and David is always talking about the presence of God. What are you and I doing to protect the presence of God in our life? To guard our spirit from being hindered, hurt, hampered, offended. See, if I get offended, I hinder the presence of God. See, the presence of God is the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says we can grieve the Holy Spirit through unforgiveness, through anger, an offense, wrong talking. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the presence of God. The glory of God is the presence of God. And they tell us that the next move of God, all the experts are telling us, Christian, here's what they're telling us. Christian, here's what they're telling us. The last move of God in the church will be the glory of God. Well, the latter day will be greater than the former day. But what is the glory of God? It's the presence of God. And if I live a life of compromise, I act like a Christian on Sunday, but the world on Monday, I'm going to miss out on the end time revival. I'm going to miss out on the end time move of God. I'm going to be like Samson, and the presence of God will depart from my family, and I don't even know it. So we said Bible character studies, a good one for commitment is Daniel. Daniel, remember Daniel in the lion's den? And then we said a Bible character study for compromise is Samson. Remember Samson and Delilah? All you need is one wrong person in your life to derail you from God's destiny. All Samson needed was Delilah. And Delilah in the Hebrew means to flirt. Don't flirt with sin. Don't compromise with sin. Cost us too much. Our relationships are so valuable. Who you let your kids run with are so valuable. Only when God wants to promote you, he sends somebody into your life. When the devil wants to destroy you, he sends somebody into your life. The devil will attack your God-connected relationships. The devil will attack your God-connected relationships. Have you ever noticed he doesn't attack your wrong relationships? They lie there, exist, and fester and get codependent. Wow. But the devil will attack your God-connected relationships. So the cost of compromise is we lose God's power, we lose God's protection, favor, we lose God's presence, and we lose God's protection. Protection. I believe in angels. Oh, I thank God there are angels in this room. You know that, right? There, you have a guardian angel, right? When you die, angels carry you to heaven. Did you know that? When you die, angels escort you to heaven if you're born again. So I believe in it. But the Bible says if I live a life of disobedience, I halt and hinder their work in my life. So that's Psalm 91, y'all. So the cost of compromise, I lose God's protection over my life. And boy, do we need it now with so many crazy people out there. And you know, what did they tell us? I'm not going to agree with this, but what did you say, Daniel, that St. Louis is one of the most dangerous cities in America? What was it? It was high up there. It was one of the most dangerous cities in America. We got to change that. We've got to change that. Amen, everybody? We got to change that. You know, me and Daniel and Stephen, a long time ago, we took a gun course, you know, so we could carry this, that, and the other. And the gentleman who gave us that course from St. Louis said, you don't want to go on certain roads into St. Louis at certain times of day. He said it's very, 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 very dangerous. Folks, we live in a dangerous city, a dangerous community. Our county's going crazy. I've been here 40 years. Our county's going crazy. We need God's protection. I can't afford to be an almost Christian. For my kids and my grandkids and my wife and my husband, my mom and my dad. So the cost of compromise then is I lose my potential. My potential. It hinders and hampers what God wants to do in my life. I don't understand. Amos 3:3. That's a scripture in the Bible. Old Testament prophet. Amos 3:3. How can two walk together? That's God and you and me. How can two walk together except they agree? So when I compromise, I hinder God from walking with me and bringing out my potential. We all have potential. So the cost of compromise is I lose who I could become. I lose who I could become. And then we said last week, didn't we end in Psalm 1? Let's go there. Psalm 1 on the board, Psalm 1. We found out that when I compromised, this is where we left off last week, I lose my happiness. Do y'all remember that? Everybody wants to be happy. Everybody's looking for happiness. You know, all I want to be, you know, is happy. All I want to do is have some fun. Who is that? Crow? She sang that song. All I want to do is have some fun. All I want to do is be happy. Everybody wants to be happy. Everybody's looking for the pursuit of happiness. But most people are looking the wrong ways. Right? Now, God didn't put me here to be happy. But when I do the right things, it's a byproduct of serving Him. It's a happiness the world can't give me. My happiness doesn't come from my happenings. Get the word, writ word, happy, happenings, okay, circumstances. So the cost of compromise, almost Christianity, I lose happiness. Where'd you get that? Blessed. That word blessed in the Hebrew is happinesses. Not singular, but plural. I don't get it. You have compartments of your life, spirit, soul, and body, financial, mental, social, relational, family, future. You have all these compartments. God wants you to be a complete person, a whole person. When I went to college, Southwestern University, our motto was of our college, this is where Jimmy Swaggart went. This is where John Hagee went. This is where Tommy Barnett went. This is where Mike Murdoch went. That's where I went. And the motto of our university was the whole gospel for the whole man. The whole gospel for the whole man. All my problems will be solved and answered through the gospel. All my problems will be solved through the word of God. Well, I hope you're getting that. Most people don't believe that today. Most Christians think the Bible is literature and not literal. Most Christians think the Bible is literature and not literal. They don't take it literal anymore as the word of God. But I'm telling you, it is the word of God. Heaven and earth will pass away. The flower fadeth and the grass withereth. How's your yard doing right now? My grass is withering. Old grass is leaving. There's going to be new grass coming. Right? But the word of God is still the same. Right? A month ago, I had green grass in my yard. Now I got brown grass. But the word, I'm still in the same series. It hasn't changed. Oh, I like it. Happiness is the person that doesn't walk in the counsel of CNN, Fox, ABC, NBC, CBS, social media, YouTube, culture, popular, trend, you know, Hollywood, Atlanta, Dallas, New York. Blessed is the person that doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor do you stand in the way of sinners, nor do you sit in the seat of the scornful. Notice the progression. First, you're walking with them, and then you begin to what? Stand. And if you stay there long enough, you're either going forward or you're going backward. Then you're sitting. Now you're fellowshipping and breaking bread with the wrong people. your fellowship. Pastor, shouldn't we be a friend to sinners? Yes, Jesus was a friend to sinners. As long as you're influencing them and them aren't influencing you, right? So notice it's progressive. Everyone say progressive. So it doesn't happen overnight. First, you're on the first row, and then you go to the middle row, and then you go to the back row, and then I see you at the lake on YouTube. Been doing it 40 years. That's what happens, okay? So it doesn't happen. So I don't go backward overnight, but I don't go forward overnight. It's over time, right? So, but, oh, it won't bother me. It won't happen to me. Liar, 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 pants on fire. Bible. Principle. Either I'm getting better or I'm getting worse. Physically, I'm getting fatter or I'm getting thinner. I'm getting healthier or I'm getting less healthy. Spiritually, I'm getting stronger or I'm getting weaker. Never stay the same. Never stay the same. I'm either moving forward, going backward, either improving, getting worse. So first I start walking, then I stop to listen to them, and now I'm standing. And then I'm ending up breaking bread with the wrong people. And it says, if I do that, if I compromise, I lose all the happinesses God has for me and mine. Can we have a praise break for the goodness of God in our life? Come on, somebody. All right. Next verse, verse 2. But your delight, I know this is your delight. I do. Y'all are awesome. I love you. Your delight is the word of God. The law of the Lord is the word of God. It's the B-I-B-L-E. Your delight is in the law of the Lord. The greatest legacy you can leave your family is a love for the word of God. We're talking about legacy next weekend. I start a series, Bishop Bronner, the next weekend. We're hitting legacy. My mom and dad, you know, they were middle class. My dad was a hard worker. Many of you heard this story. He died at age 56, rheumatoid arthritis. They were giving him gold shots. He reacted wrongly, had a heart attack, and died at 56. Okay? Deacon in the church, loved the Lord, loved his family, a man of God. My mom, she's in heaven. She was a Sunday school superintendent. I thank God. But the greatest thing, they didn't leave me anything in the natural. All my dad left me was my mom said, you want to have your dad's wedding ring when we put him in the casket? That's my father's wedding ring, okay? My mother, when my mother passed away, my sister, who's now in heaven, my sister said, Dave, I know out of all that mom has, she didn't have much. You'd want her Bible. Here's her Bible. So I got my dad's wedding ring and my mom's Bible. That was the legacy. That no money, no inheritance, no land, no cars, no nothing. But the greatest thing that they gave me was my mother, my mom. She would always have on the kitchen table, y'all remember those little, looked like a loaf of bread, plastic? Y'all remember that? It had promises in it. You pulled out a promise, it was the bread of life. You pulled out a promise for that day. That was in the center of our kitchen table growing up. But every morning, my mom would have a devotional. She'd have a devotional and her Bible open with a cup of coffee. All my life growing up, I saw that there. From age 11, I saw that there. My mother gave me a love. That's why I got my love for the word. My mom, Reva. Now, my father, the legacy he gave me, his name was Mervyn Wesley. I love that. Wesley, he was named after the famous preacher John Wesley, who started the Methodist Church. That's my dad. My dad gave me a legacy of the love to pray. Love to pray. What legacy are we going to leave our children and our children's? The greatest legacy you can leave them is the love for the word of God. But your delight is in the word of the Lord and the law. Do you meditate, called renewing your mind, so you don't think like the world, so you're not a carnal Christian, so you don't give in to pressure as the team comes out? And in the word, do you meditate day and night? That's the key. Listen very carefully. Right now, with what's going on in our world, and you know what I saw on Apple this morning, Steve? On Apple News on my phone, it said, big thing, these are the new face masks. Yeah, this morning, check it out. If you get Apple News on your phone, check it out. It was there this morning. Apple News, these are the new face masks that are going to be required for the next pandemic. Oh, goodness gracious, great balls of fire. All right, Jerry Lee Lewis. Okay? So what do we do? We need to be praying, my brother and sister, for strength. Number two, for courage. Number three, for wisdom. Three things: strength, courage, and wisdom. Strength, courage, and wisdom. Strength, courage, and wisdom. Where do you get that, Pastor? Can I go to a Walmart, Walgreens? What pharmacy? Pastor, where can I get this high? Where can I get this prescription? I want to be wise, strong, and courageous, not to bend, bow, or burn, or overreact. Pastor, where do you get courage? Where do you get strength? Pastor, where do you get wisdom? By meditating in the Word of God, day and night, night and day. Did you know the Bible is what gives you courage? Yeah. Joshua 1, be strong and of good courage. Is that Joshua chapter 1? Be strong and of good courage. And then he says, meditate in the Word of God day and night. Where does courage come from? Not meth or cocaine train or Budweiser or marijuana. Courage comes from the Word. Strength comes from reading our one-year Bible. So then number three, sorry, I'm kind of excited today. Verse three, and you're going to be like a tree, not a weed, not a weed, not a weed, not a tumbleweed, pushed around by the culture, pushed around by the trends, emotions. You'll be like a tree planted. Glory be to God. By the rivers of water that brings forth fruit, you'll be planted and you'll be productive. You'll be producing in recession and inflation. That you will be productive. Get planted and be productive. And your leaf will not wither, and whatever you do will prosper. Planted, productive, and prosper. If I compromise, I lose that. I lose stability, productivity, and prosperity that comes from the Lord. I don't want a retirement package that comes from the world. It won't be enough. I don't want my portfolio to come just from the world. It won't be enough. They'll steal it from you. They'll take it from you. The money you and I have lost in our portfolio during this last thing we've been going through, Have you checked your stocks lately? Have you checked your mutual funds lately? That's why I say tithe, give offerings. Because God said you can get 100-fold back on your giving. I don't know anybody. Dave Ramsey can't do that for you. Amen. All right? And so I got to hustle here. I got to hustle. Oh, I got to hustle. Verse 4. But the ungodly are not so. The almost Christians. The ungodly, those who compromise, they're not so. They're not going to be planted. They're not going to be productive. And they're not going to prosper. That comes from the Lord. Either I'm godly or ungodly. Either I'm a Christian or I'm not. I can't be an almost Christian and expect to have an abundant life. So notice that not only will we lose a stability, cost of compromise, being planted, and then productive, efficient, effective, efficiency, and then prosperity that comes from the Lord, y'all, comes from the Lord. Prosperity that comes from the Lord. And then what is the last thing we lose, compromise will cost us, is your destiny. Your destiny. Your destiny. Your eternal destiny. So notice the ungodly are not so. They're like a tumbleweed. They're blown around by every wind of doctrine, all the news, popular opinion, culture, society. They're blown around whichever the wind blows. Verse 5, therefore the ungodly, they'll not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. It's talking about eternity, destiny, the hereafter, the future, eternal, eternity. Verse 6, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous. God knows you, what you're going through, what you're dealing with. And God's already got it handled for you. But the way of the ungodly, look at this, their destiny is to perish. Your destiny is to flourish. Their destiny is to perish. Your destiny is to flourish. Their destiny is eternal separation from God. Your destiny is eternal fellowship with God. Amen, somebody? I'm out of time. Give the Lord a thank you for the word, would you? Come on, if you got something today that made you stronger, Give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. Thank you for the word, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. From your word comes courage and strength and wisdom, stability, endurance, resilience. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Praise ye the Lord. Amen, everybody. Y'all can stand with me if you would, please. Those of you at home, stay with us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Our prayer team's going to come in a minute. Our host is going to come. If you've never given your life to Jesus, do it in just a few minutes, here and online. If you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to need His companionship, His power. Come forward, let someone pray for you, or online, they're there to pray with you today. Has today helped you at all, the whole service? Well, the greatest way we can grow our church is through referral. Not social media, not YouTube, not billboards, not television. If it's helping you, please tell someone this week. Referrals are the greatest way to build a business and the greatest way to build a church. I just want you to know, I love you, I believe in you, and the best is yet to come. In Jesus' name, give God a praise as our host comes.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.